In this country, there is neither measure nor balance to redress the dominance of rocks and trees, the passage say of these man-shaming clouds. No gesture of yours or mine could catch their attention. No word make them carry water or fire the kindling, like local trolls in the spell of a superior being. Well, one wearies of the public gardens. One wants a vacation where trees and clouds and animals take no notice, away from the labeled elms, the tame tea roses. In July 1959, Sylvia Plath and Ted Hughes left their Beacon Hill apartment in Boston and embarked on a camping trip across America. They borrowed Plath's mother's 1953 Dove Gray Chevrolet and drove north, crossing the border at Cornwall, Ontario, before heading towards Algonquin Park, where they camped at Rock Lake for 3 days. Following their stay, they drove further north into North Bay and through Sudbury along Highway 17 before finally crossing the border at Sault Ste. Marie. Plath wrote about their camping trip in a poem called Two Campers in Cloud Country, Rock Lake, Canada, in 1960. So initially, I thought that Plath's poem may have been inspired by another Rock Lake campground, which was 1 hour east of the border at Sault Ste. Marie, where my family owns a fishing camp that was once a popular destination during the 1950s and 60s. And in 2004, I began to write a series of poems based on what I believed was Plath and Hughes' trip and their stay at Rock Lake, because I actually thought that they may have actually stayed at our Rock Lake instead of the one at Algonquin Park, which led me to begin to investigate the archives at Smith and then consequently at Indiana University. The synthesis of the collection has been about 10 years of writing and research, investigation, but also traveling. Paul and I went to Algonquin Park, we went to the Rock Lake campground there in an attempt to find the same campground where Plath and Hughes had camped to investigate the landscape there. But there's a pair of photographs that are at Smith of both Plath and Hughes at Rock Lake, both sitting, their companion portraits, and they're sitting at the picnic table of the campsite at Rock Lake. And Ted Hughes has written on the back of each photograph, Rock Lake. My name is Christine Wald. I live in Victoria. I'm a librarian and a poet, and I work at the University of Victoria Libraries. My finished collection, which is a manuscript, is called Cloud Country, and it's a collection of poems that explores the three-day camping trip Sylvia Plath and Ted Hughes took through Canada in 1959. I mean, the collection does investigate this idea of what is quote-unquote Rock Lake, how, you know, places within our landscape can be infused with different meaning and significance at different times in our lives and have different meanings for different people, but yet there's somehow a confluence of meaning that transcends boundaries of time and space, history, and poetry. Rock Lake, Canada. What parentheses these are, all Canada, contained behind that comma. Absolute, irrefutable, just for the purposes of your poem there. I wonder, did you forget to name Ontario, or did you just assume no one would ever care exactly where you had been? Maybe you couldn't imagine how many other rock lakes there could be. This was, after all of Canada you would ever see. But if you had continued driving west toward Sault Ste. Marie, turning north just before Bruce Mines, winding through Rydalbank, down past Mount Zion, you would have found another rock lake, past the gate and the bridge where Earl, no doubt drunken, would have been at the farmhouse waiting to tell you how to drive past the pines to get to the water, where you could have parked your car and pitched your tent along the old beach road, where now only blueberries grow, and my kids and I go hunting for lost hooks and driftwood every summer. So the collection actually borrows, steals, explores, investigates, and mines Two Campers in Cloud Country as a poem. So this is Sylvia Plath's poem, Two Campers in Cloud Country, Rock Lake, Canada. It took 3 days driving north to find a cloud the polite skies over Boston couldn't possibly accommodate. Here, on the last frontier of the big, brash spirit, the horizons are too far off to be chummy as uncles. The colors assert themselves with a sort of vengeance. Each day concludes in a huge splurge of vermilions, and night arrives in one gigantic step. It is comfortable, for a change, to mean so little. These rocks offer no purchase to herbage or people. They are conceiving a dynasty of perfect cold. In a month, we'll wonder what plates and forks are for. I lean to you, numb as a fossil. Tell me I'm here. The pilgrims and Indians might never have happened. Planets pulse in the lake like bright amoebas. The pines blot our voices up in their latest sighs. Around our tent, the old simplicity soft, sleepily as Lethe trying to get in. We'll wake blank-brained as water in the dawn.